From the Himkut Mountain came a man of God, messenger of courage, righter of wrong, with the strength of a lion and the heart of a sage, in the truth of the one God, Guru Gobind Singh. Turned us into soldiers, made us into saints.
Waikiki Jika Khalsa, waikiki for the station, and welcome to another episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dr. Savvy. In this particular episode, we have a special compilation snippet episode. We do this every 10 episodes, and for this particular show, we have episodes 56 to 65 summarized. And the reason why we do this is to catch up on the previous shows, that's the previous 10, also introduce new listeners, and remind us of some inspirational words and inspirational songs. Welcome to the latest episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dr. Savvy. In this latest episode, we split the program up into three parts. In the first part of the program, we've got Understanding Sikhism. In the second part, we have a Shabda translation. And in the third part of the program, we've got inspirational words and inspirational songs. Recently, I had a great opportunity to meet Dr. Sarbjeet Singh Neelam, who is actually the director and producer of Ocean of Pearls, a film that took him 10 years to make. And it's strongly recommended. I think it has been on theatre release in the US, and maybe it will be coming out on DVD over in the UK. But if you get a chance to see it, you should see it. So let's start the programme. Let's move on to the final part of the programme. Recently, I was invited to a test screening in the UK of a film called Ocean of Pearls. I had a chance to meet Dr. Sarab just before the actual start of the film. He's both an inspiring and committed filmmaker. Starting off as a medical doctor, he also spent the last 10 years managing a budget of $1.5 million to deliver a film that really moves you. His connections to Hollywood have assisted in the development of the film and its themes. As you watch the film, you realise that it's not preaching in manner. There are some scenes that as a Sikh make your heart sink. In others, you recognise similar public stereotypical influence episodes. The film's delivery is based on generating a universal message of self-realization, of who you are and the importance of what you represent. Other themes explored in the film include seva. After the movie, the audience had a chance for questions and answers with Dr. Sarab. He spoke about the impact that the film had on people from different denominations. In the US, filmgoers expressed that they felt the need to know more about their own religion, and some from the Sikh faith reflected on the importance of their own faith. Interestingly, I've heard this phenomenon before. Currently, European plans for the film are under review, but it's certainly a must-watch and share with your family, local community, service agencies, and your library. So here's the interview. Okay, I'm very honoured to be with Sarbjeet Singh Neelam, who is the producer and director of a fantastic film called Ocean of Pearls. We are actually at a preview event, but we've got lots of people here already. Very, very honoured to have the wonderful Sarbjeet with us. Welcome, Sarbjeet, to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
I'd like to just kind of start off by just getting you to tell us a little bit about the film. Tell us, not necessarily the whole film, because sometimes trailers spoil the whole thing. You can see the trailer at oceanofpearls.com. Great website, great stills, wonderful people in the film. But tell us a little bit about the actual main story of the film.
Well, the story is about a Canadian, young Canadian Sikh transplant surgeon who moves from Toronto to Detroit looking for opportunity, looking for freedom. He doesn't understand who he is, and he's looking for the answers, as all of us are searching for answers within our life as to what is the meaning of life, what is the purpose of life. And he, while he's sort of learning about the American health system, which is very a business-oriented system, he's fighting that system ultimately, and he's fighting ultimately his own identity. Because in the film, he has to make choices, which his community or his faith may want one thing, and what his goals and ambitions are on the other hand, and the dilemma that we all have today. How do you balance, you know, spirituality and ethics and family and morality and all those values in the complex of the world that we live in? So it's a message for all of humanity.
Absolutely, and it's a very inspiring film in the context that, you know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier on is that when you watch the film, you identify with many of the episodes in your own life.
Yeah.
You know, and if you could just tell us what kind of inspired you to make the film, and really tell us, was it difficult to bring about that vision of bringing this film to market and for a worldwide audience?
Well, the inspiration for film, first of all, you know, when I was a young boy, I was born in India, but I grew up mostly in Canada and America. I fell in love with cinema in there. We used to live in a town called Bhopal. And then I was just sort of mesmerized by what I saw on screen. But then when I grew up in Canada, I was, encouraged by my parents to become a doctor. So I became a doctor.
Right.
Because everybody, you know, they want you to be either a lawyer or engineer or scientist or a doctor. So it's one of those, you know, three or four.
All good stuff.
All good stuff, right? Which is nothing bad. I love that as well. But then, you know, deep inside, I still wanted to be a filmmaker as well. And so once I got to America and I started seeing the practice of medicine there, which I realized it's a pure business in a lot of sense. You know, it was coming from Canada where everybody has an insurance, where in America, if you didn't have the right insurance, you know, you don't get the right treatment.
With that, aren't they?
So I said something that was a point that I kind of still sticks in my mind. And then the other thing is, being a Sikh, that, you know, after 9/11 especially, we were targeted for hate crimes, and people didn't understand who we were. We were mistaken for Taliban or bad people, and the first casualty in America was a Sikh.
Absolutely,
after having donated money to the 9/11 relief funds. So how ironic, you know. So I think it was the... So then I had, by that time, also made a team of very high-level kind of Hollywood people, including Jim Bernstein, who is a writer and now is a professor of screenwriting at Ann Arbor. And he told me that it's good to do something that you know best. And I told him that what I've been experiencing as a Sikh growing up in the West, and also as a doctor, you know, practicing medicine in America. And so that's how the story became what
so
it became.
So you kind of brought a lot of your personal experiences to the story, yeah?
Right. But in the beginning, you know, I said to him, and I actually wrote the screenplay with a Caucasian as a lead character, not Amrit,
right,
or a Sikh,
right,
man. Because I said, you know, who would want to watch the lead character as a Sikh? And we never see that, you know, in Hollywood
movies.
They're
very, very rare films where you get
right,
that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, and then so Jim said to me, Sarab, you're wrong. America would love to see America through the eyes of somebody different.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so that's what sort of inspired me to make the lead character a Sikh, which has been a blessing in some ways because, you know, it has had a great deal of impact all around the world, those who have seen the film.
Waheguru Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ki Fatah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest episode of Sikh Within. In this particular episode, we have a special. This time round, we're actually listening to Jaddi Kala Jatha. This was recorded at the Gurdwara in London at Havelock Road. So let's continue with the programme, listening to Jaddi Kala Jatha.
Anik Baal Maskam bhagnat sailam. Maskam bhagnat sailam. Kardamam darantu pamilka. Sagran langhant pingam.
Fire, that is so high.
Vaigajika Khalsa, Vaigajika for the ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dr. Savvy. In this episode, which happens to be called episode 58, we're looking at the usual format of the program, which is understanding Sikhism, followed by a Shabad translation, and we normally end the show with inspirational words and inspirational songs. This time around, we're going to end the show with a recording of Anoop Singh, who recently visited London. Let's start the show. In Understanding Sikhism, we're going to be looking at the life of Guru Arjan. I found this article on sikhiwiki.org, and it's based on an article by Pritpal Singh Bindra, author and columnist writer. Guru Arjan Devji, the fifth guru of the Sikhs, was the embodiment of godly devotion, selfless service, and universal love. He was the treasure of celestial knowledge and spiritual excellence. He substantially contributed towards the welfare of society. He stood steadfastly for the principles he believed in, sacrificed his own life, and attained a unique and unparalleled martyrdom in the history of mankind. He was born on April the 15th, 1563, in the house of Guru Ram Das, the fourth guru. He was the youngest of the three sons of Guru Ram Das Ji. His older brother, Priti Chand, was very astute in social and worldly affairs. He was noted for his diligent management of all the affairs of the guru's household, including the running of the langar, the communal kitchen. Guru Ram Das had envisioned heavenly qualities in his youngest son Arjan. From his earliest childhood, the guru found him to be imbued with the name and immersed in tranquility. Almost since his birth, it seemed that the guruship was destined to be bestowed upon Arjan. One day, baby Arjan had crawled up into the divine throne of his grandfather, Guru Amar Das, the third guru, and sat there comfortably. Seeing this, the guru smiled and prophesied, "My maternal grandson will ship the name across." But growing up, Arjan was always well aware that despite his grandfather's prediction, it was the service to the Sangat, not their lineage, that had bestowed guruship on the previous preceptors, Guru Angad and Guru Amar Das. With this in mind, he indulged in seva, service, most ardently. But his emotive intentions were always quite perceptible to his father, Guru Amar Das Ji, and all too apparent to his eldest brother, Priti Chand, who, suspectingly the consequence of their grandfather's prophecy, indulged in numerous means to disrupt the life of Guru Arjan that ended in bringing about what he had feared. Guru Arjan was sent to Lahore to attend a wedding on behalf of his father. Arjan was kept there for a long time by the cunning manipulations of his elder brother, Priti Chand, who had long worked to inherit the Guru Gaddi throne himself. But by his interception and concealment of a series of letters that Arjan had sent to his father, his duplicity, when it was discovered, ended with Arjan being installed as the fifth guru. Despite his brother's actions, he showed no resentment to his older brother and inundated him with reverence and honour. Guru Arjan Dev Ji was born an apostle of peace. The preparation of the holy book is one of the most valuable achievements of Guru Arjan Dev Ji. With three things in his mind, he initiated the compilation of the holy book, the present Guru Granth Sahib. Unfortunately, the hymns and teachings of the first four gurus were being added to and even distorted by imposters. Seeing such things going on, Guru Arjan wanted to preserve these original treasures, not only fixing the path of the efforts of his predecessors, but also bestowing on the Panth an everlasting guiding light that was to serve as both a physical and spiritual phenomenon. And most of all, he wanted to establish the credibility of the Sikh religion as a casteless and secular society. Laced among the hymns of the earlier Nanaks, he added his own compositions as well as the celestial utterances Sheikh Farid and Bhagat Kabir, Bhagat Ravidas, Dana Namdev, Ramnan, Jaydev, Dalochan, Beni, Pipa, and Surdas, all of whom belong to different times, beliefs, sects, and castes from high and low. The poetic revelations of Guru Arjan are of the greatest aesthetic caliber. More than half of the Guru Granth Sahib is constituted in his own holy renderings. The Guru Granth Sahib is not only the collection of the revelations, but it also throws considerable light on the contemporary political and social life. The physical being and spiritual awareness are fused into one. Among his other equally important accomplishments are the creation of the new cities at Kartarpur, Tarn Taran, with its magnanimous Tank of Salvation, and the construction of the Bayoli at Lahore. Guru Ram Das introduced the institution of Mastans, representative of the gurus at far-flung places, along with the principle of Dasvand, of a tenth of an individual's incomparable to the guru's langar, common kitchen, and for other acts of benevolence on behalf of the poor. In Guru Angad's days, the professional bards, Sata and Balwant, who sang the hymns at the guru's darbar, had started to believe that their excellence as musicians and singers was responsible for their guru's popularity. With his love for music and expertise in rags, Guru Arjan Devji introduced the tradition of singing by the congregants themselves to avoid such egoism. During his incumbency, the Punjab was badly affected with a famine. By dint of his influence, he gained Mughal Emperor Akbar's consent to eliminate land revenue to some extent for that year. But Jet Siddhi 4 SMT 1663, corresponding to May the 30th, 1606 AD, is the most momentous date in the Sikh chronology. Mughal Emperor Akbar had already been convinced of the piety of the Sikh gurus. During one of his campaigns, he had come to Gondwal and partook in the langar. Sitting on the floor, he ate the simple food of Amar Das's langar, seated among men of every caste, before he was able to meet with Guru Amar Das. A Muslim peer, the Saint Mayam Mir of Lahore, had great affinity with the guru's domain. The opinions and the words of the peer were immensely revered by Akbar, which on one occasion resulted in the charges levelled against Guru Arjan in the Akbar court by a few impostors, Priti Chand and his son, and some jealous Brahmin priests, being totally disregarded. The complainants were virtually thrown out of the king's court, but humiliated, they were unfortunately to continue their designs with more success after the death of Akbar. Immediately after the death of Akbar, the Muslim clergy captured the thought of Prince Selim and helped him to regain the throne as Emperor Jahangir. He was assisted with great understanding of the agreement that he would reinstate Shariat, Orthodox Muslim law, in the country when he became emperor. Akbar's grandson, Khusraw, was a pious man who was as liberal as his grandfather. Akbar had designated him next in line to head the kingdom, but the domination of the Muslim clergy made it necessary that he had to run for his life. While passing through Punjab, he visited Guru Arjan Devji at Tarn Taran and sought his blessings. The house of Baba Nanak had gained enormous popularity under the guiding light of Guru Arjan Devji. Both Hindu and Muslim populace flocked to the Guru's house with equal intensity to pay their homage. To the dismay of Orthodox Muslims, Guru Arjan Devji's popularity increased their hatred of him. All of this was heightened by the malicious manipulations of Chandu Shah, an influential Hindu banker and revenue official at the Emperor's Darbar court at Lahore. He had once been advised to arrange a marriage of his daughter with Guru Arjan Devji's only son, Hargobind, but because of his contempt for the Guru, he laughed at such a suggestion using harsh words that eventually were repeated to the Guru. Later, when Chandu saw the wisdom of the match his family priest had suggested and had an offer of the union sent to Guruji, the Guru, aware of his attitude and contempt, rejected the marriage. Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi was very much revered by Muslims. He presented himself to be Islam's prophet of the second millennium, the first millennium belonging to the Prophet Muhammad. He asserted that his status was higher than the Sikh gurus. This was emphatically rejected by Guru Arjan Devji. Sheikh Ahmed had a great influence on Jahangir. Citing the Guru's blessings bestowed upon Prince Khusraw, he instigated the emperor against Guru Arjan Devji. Jahangir wrote in his biography, "A Hindu named Arjan living in Gondwal, simple-minded Hindus and ignorant and foolish Muslims has persuaded to adopt his ways. This business has been flourishing for three generations. For a long time it has been in my mind to put a stop to this affair or bring him into the fold of Islam." False accusations launched against the Guru. Khusraw was later captured and blinded in punishment. Thereafter, Jahangir summoned Guru Arjan Devji to Lahore With preconceived ideas, Yagya showed dissatisfaction with the guru's explanation of Kurusu's shelter. He labelled the guru as a party to rebellion and wanted to punish him with death. But on the recommendation of Pir Menmir, he commuted his sentence to a fine of 2 lakh rupees, plus an order to erase a few verses from the Granth Sahib. Guru Arjan Dev Ji refused to accept. The Sikhs of Lahore wanted to pay off the fine, but the guru flatly refused any attempt to pay an unjust fine. The guru was imprisoned and excessively tortured. His body was exposed in the scorching heat of the May-June sun. He was made to sit on the red-hot sand, and boiling hot water was poured on his naked body. Pir Menmir approached him and offered to intercede on his behalf. Some say that he even offered to demolish the whole city of Lahore with his ecclesiastic power in punishment. But the guru refused his help, holding that all that was happening was by guru's will. Thine doings seem sweet unto me. Nanak craves the wealth of God's name. Rag Asa Mahalla Panjwa, page 394. And on this day, May the 30th, 1606, he enveloped his blistering body in the cool waves of the river Ravi and journeyed to his heavenly abode. Bhai Gurdas, a contemporary of Guru Arjan Dev Ji and the pioneering scribe of Guru Granth Sahib, summed up, like a rainbird, thirsting only for a drop of rain and no other water, Guru Arjan Dev Ji abandoned all worldly opportunities offered to him and desired but an abiding response in the love and will of God. So deeply was he absorbed in the undisturbed and unbroken vision of the Lord that his enlightened and elevated spirit conquered all sorrow and pain, and his soul rested peacefully in the eternal embrace of God's love. I am a sacrifice unto Guru Arjan Dev Ji, the perfect one. The Lord of man and beast is working in all. His presence is scattered everywhere. There is none else to be seen. One talks, another listens. God is in both. He is the unity and himself the diversity. Sukhmani, XX11.1. In the company of saints, man learns how to turn enemies into friends. As he becomes completely free of evil and bears malice to none. In the company of the good, there is no swerving from the path, no looking down upon anyone as evil. Man sees all around him the Lord of supreme joy, and freeing himself from the feverish sense of self, abandons all pride. Such is the efficacy of fellowship with a holy man whose greatness is known only to the Lord. The servant of the ideal is akin to his master. That's from Sukhmani V11.3. He is a prince among men, who has effaced his pride in the company of the good. He who deems himself as the lowly shall be esteemed as the highest of the high. He who lowers his mind in the dust of all men's feet sees the name of God enshrined in every heart. Sukhmani 111.6.
From the Himkut mountain came a man of God, messenger of courage, rider of wrong, with the strength of a lion and the heart of a sage, in the truth of the one God, Guru Gobind Singh. He turned us into soldiers, made us into saints. Liberator of darkness, destroyer of our fate. In the heat of the battle, in the eye of the storm, make your stand with courage, and God will take you.
Vaigurujika Khalsa, Vaigurujika Fateh. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dr. Savvy. As per normal, we have got 3 parts to the program. In the first part, we have Understanding Sikhism. We follow that with a Shabad translation, and the final part of the program happens to be inspirational words and inspirational songs. In the first part of the program, we're going to be looking at an excellent piece written recently. I found it in SikhiWiki.org. It's a great website, SikhiWiki.org. The article is written by Maheep Singh, PhD, and it's called Guru Nanak, Bridge Across All Faiths. In the second part of the program, we've got a Shabad, and this one's sung by Harjinder Singh from Srinagar. In the final part of the program, I discovered this most amazing song recently. I was actually listening to it on SeekNet Radio, which you can get as an iPhone application, or you can actually go to the SeekNet.com Gurbani website, which is SeekNet.com/Gurbani. And it's a song called Spirit of the Khalsa. So let's start off with the first part of the program. As I said at the beginning of the program, this particular article was found on SikhiWiki.org. It's called Guru Nanak, Bridge Across All Faiths, written by Maheep Singh, PhD. In one of his compositions, Guru Nanak said, "As long as we are in this world, we should listen to others and say something to them. This is the basic principle of dialogue, of exchange of opinions or ideas." During his 40 lengthy journeys to the East, South, North and West, he opened a dialogue with all the existing faiths, not only in today's empirical or utilitarian language, but in ethical and spiritual language capable of expressing human realities and spiritual values. He filled the interreligious space with love, ethical humanism, and spirituality. He approached every religion as his own and presented his own faith and philosophy as everyone's religion in a crucible of eternal youth. Visits to various holy centers. He traveled to various centers of religious pilgrimage. His dialogue with pundits, sandhus, and yogis of every sect, as with mullahs, pirs, and qazis, continued throughout his life. He visited the places of pilgrimage Kushtetra, Mutra, Hardwar, Benares, Gaya, as well as those in Bengal, Assam, Sri Lanka. He visited the Sufi establishments at Pak Batan and Multan, and shrine sites along the west coasts of India. He travelled beyond India in the west to Mecca, Medina and Baghdad. There are accounts of still further travels to the east, to Tibet and China. He reached Mount Sumer and had a long dialogue with Siddhas, hermits. He recorded his discourses with Siddhas in his famous composition Siddha Gusht. Guru Nanak won over all by the power of loving devotion. He was not a sectarian reformer attached to one community of faith or part of the world. He was a preacher of the divine, reality transcending all peculiarities of race or clan. In his encounter with yogis, siddhas, Vandanists, Vishnavas, Shaivas, Buddhists, Jains, different sects of Muslims, Guru Nanak told them that religion is without its moorings till it joins the main life current of humanity and socially and spiritually insinuates itself into them. While Guru Nanak changed old beliefs into new ones by the infusion of values, he projected his perennial wisdom into the stream of consciousness of other faiths by telling them how they could become true Muslims, good Hindus or enlightened yogis. Every religion at its ethical and spiritual best, mingled with the religion of Guru Nanak and Guru Nanak's religion, appeal to the people of every faith as their own at its best. Guru Nanak does not ask man to deny the temporal existence, but urges him not to succumb to the fascination of the visible and the exterior, but to turn towards the inner light and music that man has received from God, and move towards a more and more complete interiority, which leads him to the vision of reality. Man has to breathe and live in two worlds simultaneously, the temporal and the spiritual. In Guru Nanak's time, Indian society was caste-ridden and had divided itself into countless watertight compartments. Men were considered high and low on account of their birth and not according to their deeds. Equality of human beings was a dream. As the caste system was not based on divine love for all, Guru Nanak condemned it. He aimed at creating a classless and casteless society in which all were equal and where one member did not exploit the other. By his magnetic personality, Guru Nanak had fascinated millions of people in his own lifetime. He was adored by Hindus as well as by Muslims. A couplet became very popular in the Punjab. Guru Nanak Shah Fakir, Hindu ka Guru, Musliman ka Peer. The impact of Guru Nanak has been described by Gurdas, poet and near contemporary, in picturesque stanza by Gurdas's Var. As Guru Nanak made his appearance in the world, there was light everywhere. As when the sun rises, the stars vanish and darkness retreats. Wheresoever the Guru set his foot, that spot became sanctified. Spots, once sacred to the Siddhas, do celebrate Nanak now. Every home is turned into a dharamsala, and every day into the festival of praise to the divine. By manifesting the eternal name, the Guru has redeemed all the four corners and all the nine realms of the earth. God's own witness has appeared in the Kali Age.
Waikiki Kartha, Waikiki for the legendary. Welcome to another episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dot Savvy. Welcome to episode 60, Gur Singh talking about the Shabad itself.
Rituals and prayers to invoke his blessings. Nanak says, it is those who accept his will and law, accept infinity, only they attain realization and emancipation.
Thank you.
koi bache best koi surgin
opportunity to meet Kushwant Singh from Germany. He's actually been in London and studied in London and now resides in Germany. He does quite a lot of work for Sikhism, and also he's involved in a fantastic project. He himself is just about to finish his PhD in social anthropology, and one of the things he did was produce a film. Let's hear an extract from the film.
To me, to be a Sikh is it's being a human being.
When I think of keep on walking, it applies to all situations in all areas of your life.
Aber selbst für dieses Land hier bisher nicht wirklich ein Heimatgefühl entwickelt.
Gurbani ja hisab nal assi bilkul bhara bhara hai gaye sare eh zaruri hai sade raste vakre vakre hai par manzil ek hai. Keep on walking, keep on walking, keep on
walking till the daylight comes. As I said at the beginning of the program, this film is actually available on DVD, and we'll put the link up to where you can get hold of the film
on our website, www.seekwithin.com. The website happens to be musafirthefilm.blogspot.com. That's spelled musafirthefilm.blogspot.com. As I said before, it's called Musafir, Sikhi is Travelling. The independent international documentary film was made by Michael Najwan and Kushwant Singh. I had an opportunity to meet Kushwant Singh, and here's the interview that we had together. As I said at the beginning of the programme, we've got a special guest with us this time round, and I'd like to welcome to the show Kushwant Singh. And Kushwant Singh's actually from Germany. He's busy plugging away doing his PhD in social anthropology. And one of the things he has done is he produced a fantastic film, Musafir, Sikhi is Travelling. I've got him here with me. I'm really honoured to have him on the show. So wonderful. He happens to be visiting London, and I managed to get some time with him. So welcome to the show, Sat Sri Akal, Kushwant Singh.
Sat Sri Akal ji, hello.
Tell us a little bit about your background and really, what kind of motivated you to put this film together? Maybe it's a good idea to tell us about the film as well.
Yeah, well, as you said, I'm from Germany. I'm a social anthropologist. I studied in Heidelberg, and I studied here in London, social anthropology, ethnology, and educational science. Yeah, and I have been living in Germany for over 30 years now. So in that sense, I'm a German Sikh, although I see myself more as a global citizen.
Yeah, I think we all are global citizens, aren't we?
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're actually now studying, aren't you? You've lived in London before as well, haven't you?
I came over for 1 year. That was 2004 and 2005, where I did my MPhil, where I started my MPhil course, because when you want to do PhD, you have to do 1 year of pre-research and attend seminars. This is why I was here. And since my research is based in Germany, it is a research about young people who come over from Africa and Asia to Germany without parents. We call them unaccompanied young refugees. I went back to Germany to do this research, and then I got a very good job offer, and I stayed there. So things turned out not as planned, but in a very good way, and I'm thankful about it.
Really good. And so tell us, we were talking about the film. Got a copy of it in front of me, so I'm really keen to get home and watch it. This looks like a really interesting film. I've seen the trailer. Mm-hmm. So a couple of questions. First of all, what motivated you to make the film? Mm-hmm. And secondly, what's the kind of reaction so far to it?
The interesting thing about Musafir, which means traveler, is that Michael Nichuan, with whom I did the film together, we never actually intended to do a film. We started off filming people within the framework of a research about the Punjabi community in Frankfurt. So it was a research about migration, identity, migration politics. And interestingly, we came to know different individuals who were very fascinating people. So we started filming them because it is a usual procedure. Not usual, but we tend to do it as social anthropologists to film people because we are interested in the local perspective.
Is it kind of also evidential as well? So you have evidence that this is what they said and it's easier to record it as well?
Yeah, part of the story, yes. And we are always interested to understand the local perspective, but link it back to the global. That means you are not just a human being who is an individual, but you are embedded within a society, within politics. So that is what we always try to work out as social anthropologists when we do research. And then two things happened. I came over to London to do my PhD, and wherever Michael and me were, we started filming people who were interesting. And I started talking to Indigor, who produced a fantastic album called Keep On Walking.
Yeah, I love that album so much. It's such a great album.
Yeah, when I heard it, it was just mind-blowing. I thought, wow, I have to talk to her. And then I started filming her. At some point, I cannot even tell how. And then it made click, and we knew that this is going to be the music of our film Musafir. The second thing happened was that in France, the French government proposed a headscarf ban. So we went to Paris, Michael and me, to participate in the demonstration against it, and we interviewed a couple of people. So then we thought, okay, now we have to bring the different themes together. And three different lenses we were using to explore the theme of traveling. First, music. the idea that music travels, the second theme, spirituality, the inner traveling, and the physical traveling. We as people, different people who are living in different countries, coming from different backgrounds. And these three lenses we used to understand four individuals in a better way, four protagonists, which live in very different contexts. There's one teacher in Germany, the first Sikh teacher ever, who was brought up in Germany, and now she's a teacher. Mm. So what does she think about her life as a young Sikh woman in Germany? What are her challenges when she's in school? But also what are her challenges when she goes to Gurdwara? Why do we do the things we used to do for the last 10, 20, 30 years in the Gurdwaras? So I think the strength of the film is our authenticity, and that people are very reflective we have talked to. So in that sense, it is a film about people who are all six, but still we talk about universal issues. Why am I here? What is my journey? Where do I want to be in the next 20 years?
You could argue that that's and a lot of religions ask the same question, don't they? You know, or you ask the question of yourself, don't you, rather than asking the question of the religion.
Yes, this is, I think, what spirituality is about. It is it's a spiritual journey. It's a journey which has nothing to do with physically traveling, but physically traveling obviously helps you, I think, to question things, to reflect upon things. Why should I do this? Why should I not do this? Why is society like this? Why are people doing this and not that? In that sense, I think migration can be very spiritual.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. I was having a conversation about migration with somebody today, actually, just coincidentally.
Okay.
And then they were saying that, what about, a country, say, for example, the UK, it's had so many people from different, America is another example.
Yeah.
People have come from all over the world to make up that country. But it's kind of enriching, isn't it? Because with every migration or migrant group that comes over, they give something back. You know, they are motivated to do something. Well, that's a separate issue.
Definitely. Like, why we like the album Keep on Walking, walking and traveling again is interconnected. And it's about moving on. You learn something because probably you went through difficult times, but you keep on walking because you understand, okay, this is part of this journey. And if you look back at Sikh history, I think it's fantastic to realize that Guru Nanak is a traveler. He is a traveler, and that, I think, made him so open. I mean, he was open, definitely, as he was born, but I mean, he was so open that he could engage with all kinds of people from different backgrounds. And that, again, I think, reflects back to the way the Guru Granth Sahib is composed. So I think the theme of traveling is a very universal theme, and obviously it is a theme for Sikhs. And that's why at the very end of Musafir, we have a quote of Guru Granth Sahib, which talks about being a Musafir. And there Guruji says, forget about all the worldly stuff and become a real traveler, which means a spiritual traveler which engages with the ultimate reality.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the reaction to the film, I mean, have you heard what people said about it? I mean, you can get this on DVD now, so it's a greater opportunity for lots more people to see it rather than going to a screening. Screenings are good as well,
yeah,
but the fact that you've got it on DVD is pretty good. But what are people's reaction to the film?
So far, I mean, people reacted during screenings because the DVD was just released a couple of weeks ago, and you can get it on our blog, musafirthefilm.blogspot.com. The reaction, we showed the film in Toronto, in Sweden, Denmark and Germany. There were screenings. And actually the people who saw the film, they really liked it, and they said that it's very authentic, it's very honest and reflective and very moving. I mean, we have scenes where people literally started crying because people talk about migration, asylum, how they were treated by the aliens authorities and how difficult it was for them as asylum seekers. So I think there are different facets in the film to which people from different backgrounds can relate.
Yeah, there are common things that run through that, aren't there?
Yeah, so I think that is the strength of the film, and that is what people feedbacked. Yeah, and we are looking forward to hear from other people too, what they think about Musafir. Yeah, but so far we are very, very happy that we made the film. And I can say that it's a different film. It's not a film you want to watch when you want to have a fun time.
Okay.
It's a film after you have seen the film, you have to think about your life and society, hopefully.
Well, that sounds good. And it's obviously something that probably will inspire people when they've watched it, and they can identify with the issues in it. Even if they don't, they can appreciate the kind of things that people have been through. Also, they get to learn something too about Sikhi as well.
Yeah, indirectly. I mean, it's not a pedagogical approach to teach Sikhi.
Yeah.
But it's about people. But as they speak, as they reflect, you can learn things about Sikhi, definitely.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the trailer. There was one person that was interviewed, and I think he's in a car, and he says there's many different paths, but essentially we're all the same, right?
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing there.
Yes.
It's a very interesting perspective from different people, and it's a good collection, so that's really good.
Yeah, and music. Music is universal. I mean, people who never ever listened to any Sikh music, they said, oh, the music of IndieCore was so overwhelming that they could connect to the film even better through the music. So we have different levels here where people can connect. So sometimes it can be music, sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's the content, sometimes it's the atmosphere of the scene. So I think hopefully there are different angles.
Yeah, absolutely. Take it, whatever people can get,
to connect.
Which is good. Fantastic. Well, it's so great to meet you, Khushwant Singh, and we hope to meet again. And I look forward to all your future projects as they come out, and many best wishes. And good luck with your PhD, which I'm sure won't be long before you're a doc.
Thanks a lot for having me here, and it was a pleasure talking to you. And I'm looking forward to get feedback about Musafir on our blog.
Basically, if you want to give feedback on the film, if you want to watch the trailer, you can go to the website, and we will put all those links up on the website so that it's easier for you to click and go there, watch the trailer. If you want to buy it, I strongly recommend that you purchase it, and you can click to buy as well, and it will come in post to you.
Absolutely,
pay by PayPal, and you can get that. And also, as Khushwant Singh said, if you have any feedback, I'm sure he'll be very glad to receive it as part of we all learn and grow together. And
that's why we call us Sikhs.
Absolutely. Great, thanks for that. Vaigyu Khalsa, Vaigyu Fateh.
Vaigyu Fateh.
On the outside, people are pretty. On the outside, people are pretty, but on the inside, they are ugly. On the outside, people talk deeply, but on the inside, they are shallow. On the outside, people are tall, but on the inside, they are small. On the outside, people are charming, but on the inside, they are withdrawn. On the outside, people are sweet, but on the inside, they are sour. On the outside, people are loving, but on the inside, they are judging. On the outside, people are open, but on the inside, they are divided. On the outside, people are happy, but on the inside, they are empty. The inner and outer worlds must be balanced in order to achieve authenticity. The inner and outer world must be synchronized in order to achieve equanimity. For the truth creates simplicity, and simplicity removes tension. For the truth creates clarity, and clarity removes the complication. Speaking truth, hearing truth, living truth balances the inner and outer realities, making it possible to live an extraordinary life free from tension, complication, and duality. Ocean apart, your light transmits warmth. Your light transmits warmth. Your eyes deep love. My soul shouts transform. Fly high, pure dove. Longing to see overdue, the time dawns to depart. My soul longs to meet you, but we sit an ocean apart. Loving hate, bright, dark, divine devil, invisible mark, uneven level, pleasuring pain, happily sad, madly sane, good, bad, yin yang, imbalanced balance, silent sang, solid valance, enjoyed suffering, timely late, empty stuffing, loving hate. Life like a flower, Life like a flower, start like a seed. Love gives the power, soul feels freed. Food, water, light, seed builds its roots. Soul becomes bright, spirituality shoots. Many stuck by Maya, the truth few cherish. World burns like fire, lucky are those who flourish. Life like a flower, end like a seed. Love gives the power, soul becomes freed.
You are listening to a sampler of Spiritual Poetry Disciples' Journey by Jasdeep Haribhajan Singh Khalsa and Ankardeep Singh Khalsa. To obtain the full version of this audiobook, please go to www.spiritualpoetry.co.uk. The purity of Khalsa. Khalsa is the purity. Purity is the word. Purity is the guru. Purity is seen and heard. Khalsa has no gender. Khalsa has no creed. Khalsa has no contender. Khalsa has no greed. Khalsa has no dye. Khalsa has no caste. Khalsa has no lie. Khalsa has no contrast. Khalsa has no persecution. Khalsa has no injustice. Khalsa has no discrimination. Khalsa has no artifice. Khalsa has no apprehension. Khalsa has no revulsion. Khalsa has no tension. Khalsa has no compulsion. Khalsa has total equality. Khalsa has total fairness. Khalsa has total dignity. Khalsa has total awareness. Khalsa has total honesty. Khalsa has total radiance. Khalsa has total integrity. Khalsa has total acceptance. Khalsa has total infinity. Khalsa has total liberation. Khalsa has total creativity. Khalsa has total dedication. Khalsa has total stability. Khalsa has total validity. Khalsa has total tranquility. Khalsa has total humility. Purity is the guru. Purity is the word. Khalsa is the purity. Purity is seen and heard.
Welcome to the latest episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dr. Savvy. In this particular episode, we have three parts of the program. In the first part, in Understanding Sikhism, we learn about Guru Gobind Singh, and we also learn about the Guru Granth Sahib. In the second part of the program, we happen to have a wonderful Shabad by Daya Singh from Australia. In the final part of the program, which is known as Inspirational Words and Inspirational Songs, the CD is so good, the new one that I managed to get, that we have another Shabad from that CD with a translation as well. Let's start with the first part of the program, Understanding Sikhism. Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th guru, teacher of the Sikh faith, was born Gobind Rai. It cannot be out of context to say here that throughout the chronicles of human history, there was no other individual to be more inspiring a personality than Guru Gobind Singh. Guru Gobind Singh Ji infused the spirit of both sainthood and soldier in the minds and hearts of his followers to fight oppression in order to restore justice, peace, righteousness, dharma, and to uplift the downtrodden people of this world. It is said that after martyrdom of his father, Guru Tegh Bahadur, the 10th master declared that he would create such a bunt that would challenge the tyrant rulers in every walk of life to restore justice, equality, and peace for all mankind. As a prophet, the Guru is unique. His teachings are very scientific and most suitable for all times. Unlike many other prophets, he never called himself God or the only Son of God. Instead, he called all people the sons of God, sharing his kingdom equally. For himself, he used the word slave or servant of God. Here are some extracts from Guru Gobind Singh Ji's writings. God has no marks, no color, no caste, and no ancestors.
no form, no complexion, no outline, no costume, and is indescribable. He is fearless, luminous, and measureless in might. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of the Prophets. He is the Sovereign of the Universe, gods, men, and demons. The woods and dales sing the indescribable. O Lord, none can tell thy names. The wise count your blessings to coin your names. And that's from Japsab. Guru Gobind Singh was the first one to take Amrit from the Khalsa, the Five Beloved Ones. About 80,000 men and women were baptized within a few days at Anandpur. The creation of the Khalsa created a sense of unity among the Sikhs and their supporters. It gave us a uniform, it gave us the 5Ks. The last Guru of the Sikhs was Guru Gobind Singh. But before he left this world, he installed the perpetual Sikh Guru, known as the Guru Granth Sahib. Guru Gobind Singh installed the expanded version of the Adi Granth as Guru on October the 20th, 1708. The day is celebrated today as Guru Gadi Diwas, Enthronement Day. At the time of his death, he declared that the word of God embodied in the Sri Guru Granth Sahib was to be the Guru for all time. He said, O beloved Khalsa, let any who desire to behold me, behold the Guru Granth. Obey the Granth Sahib, for it is the visible body of the Guru. Let any who desire to meet me, diligently search its Bani. Thus the word of God, which has manifested as Guru in Nanak, and had passed through the 10 incarnations of Guru, was now returned to its form as the word, the Bani, the Shabad.
Wait on a Sunday morning. Good to have your company, as always. Hope you're well. I'm delighted to say now that sitting opposite me is Savvy Aurora. How are you, Savvy?
Not bad. Good to see you.
Yeah, and you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Let's talk about Vaisakhi, Sikh New Year Festival. It falls on Wednesday, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, apart from the fact that today 100,000 people are going to be walking the streets in West London, mm-hmm. And different festivals around the world as well, in terms of just a parade, what tends to happen in Vaisakhi, especially with Sikhs, is that they have something called a Nagar Kirtan, and a Nagar stands for town, and Kirtan stands for hymns. And they'll go and walk the streets, do a parade, and they'll actually share in food and, you know, free drinks, and just a joyous festival that happens. But one of the main reasons it started for Sikhs, especially, if you look back in 1675, what you had then was Aurangzeb, who took over the throne from Shah Jahan, took it off Shah Jahan. He was conducting an ethnic cleansing campaign, but the Sikhs at the time actually got together, the 10th Guru of the Sikhs, Guru Gobind Singh, actually established the Khalsa, you know, the 5Ks, the image of mm-hmm. the Sikhs. And the Sikhs had been around already for a while, but established the Sikh religion in terms of its true identity. And that kind of unified everyone together to fight against that tyranny.
So it's an important festival for you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine, I'll give him a quick shout out, Mukesh, and he said to me, you know, the Hindus have been doing it as well, in the context that, I think in different parts of India, different goddesses are kind of worshipped. But I mean, Sikhs are kind of really more associated with the Vaisakhi with the V. But the Vaisakhi with the B is more of a festival of harvest. It's the first time that the crops are actually the first batch that come out. So the farmers out there have been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know.
I think you talked about this a couple of years ago with me, and you said that Trafalgar Square was involved in London, where you could go and have some food and all.
Absolutely.
That sort of business.
I think it's going to be coming up. I don't think it's actually today. I think it's probably in a couple of weeks' time, but you can check on the website for County Hall.
So is this just for Sikhs, or can anyone join in?
You can come along, yeah. It's open to everyone, yeah. Come down. Yeah, get some free
just
food.
A mention of food, exactly. Why are you looking at me like that? I know I'm not as skinny as you. Get on. You know, we've got lots of celebrations coming up, though, of course. Easter for Christians, and also have to mention the royal wedding.
Absolutely.
But what I like about it, there's lots of scope for getting together with a local community, and maybe, you know, you don't know who your neighbour is, but this is a great opportunity to find out.
And it's quite interesting to look at the street party thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it kind of open the door, because when you get home at night and you shut the door, and do people really kind of integrate or talk to each other, or, you know, kind of identify with common issues? And the street party is a good excuse for that, you know. I think I mentioned to you I'm involved in the bike ride from Birmingham to London, and one of those things that we have there is all different communities coming together to do something good for a charity. And I'm actually a strong believer that you forget your differences. You know, you heard that cliche about strength through diversity, but you forget your differences when you focus on a common issue, you know. And I think that maybe that's what it is, that it doesn't matter whether this is a religious event or whether it's something to help somebody out. But, you know, if someone falls over in the street, they don't say, well, actually, I'm not going to help you because you're this type of person.
No.
Your nature will go and help that person. And I think identifying common things to celebrate are ways to forget your differences, but identify common attributes and common good things, you know.
Absolutely brilliant. We're talking about luck on the programme this week. Do you believe in luck?
I have to say that Sikhs don't believe in superstition or anything. And I was quite fascinated by your previous guest.
Becky.
Becky was talking about, you know, you've got to trust in God. And Sikhs are quite similar to that in the context that, you know, there's this thing called God's will. You know, it's going to happen. It's not like it's written down or whatever, but there is a kind of philosophical debate to a certain extent that if it's written down, you know, it's written in your cards.
Yeah.
Like going to heaven and saying, I came to heaven too early because, you know, I filled my timesheet in incorrectly. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, I think you have to trust in God, but, well, your thing about walking under a ladder, really, I mean, that's just, you know, you're trying to create the physical versus the kind of spiritual, and I don't think you can really mix the two together because they're not set on par. They're different dimensions. But we personally, Sikhs, don't believe in superstition.
Right, the next ladder I'll see, I'll walk underneath it. And anything happens to me, it's your fault.
Oh, yeah, thanks, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you very much for now. We'll talk some more after this.
From the Himkun Mountain came a man of God,
messenger of courage, writer of wrong, with the strength of a lion and the heart of a sage, in the truth of the one God, Guru Gobind Singh, he turned us into soldiers.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the snippets. That was for episodes 56 to 65. This was Seek Within, episode 66. We hope to hear from you very soon. You can always email me, Dr. Savvy, at seekwithin@yahoo.com. Or why not head by the website and check out all the shows to date. That's www.seekwithin.com. You can listen to the shows there. You can listen to the shows on iTunes. And also, you can listen to the shows on the free iPhone app that you can download if you happen to have an iPhone app. If you don't, there's always a download button on the www.seekwithin.com website. We look forward to your company next time. Waigriji ka khalsa, waigriji ki fateh.
Over and over again, that's the spirit of the khalsa. Be pure when nothing's pure at all, rising to meet the challenge ahead. Over and over again. Two sons of the Guru laid it on the line in the battle for freedom. They were ready to die in the light of their spirits. The heart of a lion, whose fearlessness and courage came from their love of God. We live by the sword, we're givers and saints, stand through the test of time and space, giving it everything we got, over and over again. That's the spirit of the Khalsa, being pure when nothing's pure at all, rising to meet the challenge ahead, over and over again. Two children of God were bricked up alive, God's light in their faces, courage in their eyes. With the love of a Guru, they beat the test of time. Noble was their sacrifice, pure their heart and mind. We live by the sword, we're givers and saints, stand through the test of time and space, giving it everything we got, over and over again. That's the spirit of the Khalsa, being pure when nothing's pure at all, rising to meet the challenge ahead, over and over again. All alone in the forest, all alone with God, in his hour of darkness, everything was gone. They tried to break his spirit, but couldn't touch it at all. You can stand like a mountain when you belong to God. By the sword, we're givers and saints, stand through the test of time and space, giving it everything we got, over and over again. That's the spirit of the Khalsa, being pure when nothing's pure at all, rising to meet the challenge ahead, over and over again.
In their footsteps we follow, in their path do we walk, marching into the future, giving all to God. Till the sun sets tomorrow, we'll remember them all as the saints and the martyrs who gave it all to God. We live by the sword, we're givers and saints, stand through the test of time and space, giving it everything we got over and over again. That's the spirit of the Khalsa, being pure when nothing's pure at all, rising to meet the challenge ahead over and over again, over and over again. That's the Khalsa spirit. Strength of a lion and the heart of a sage. In the heat of the battle, we're keeping up again. A mountain.